ahead and pick the speed up. Your number one now, runway 27, clear to land green dot. Welcome to Oshkosh, guys.
Hello and welcome to the Green Dot, EAA's podcast for anyone and everyone who loves aviation. I'm Hal Bryan. I'm one of your hosts. I'm EAA's managing editor for print and digital content and publications. And over there at the end of the big long table,
Tom Charpentier, government relations director.
Terrific. Well, Tom, you and I, among our many common interests, both real world aviation and simulation, today we get to nerd out quite a bit with a couple of very special guests. So we have Kevin from Pilot Edge, and my longtime friend and occasional joking nemesis, Mr. David Kopp, an air traffic controller extraordinaire. So Kevin and David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you both. Really nice to be here.
Yes, it is. Thank you for having us.
All right. So one of the things we want to really want to focus on today, as we're recording this, AirVenture is breathing down upon us with little over 30 days to go.
I believe it's 32 days and a couple of hours. I don't know. My boss has a timer in his office that's going, which is,
so
psychological torture. But
and certainly by the time this airs, it'll be much closer than that. But prior to that, thanks to Kevin and then David and certainly some people like him, there's a chance to sort of try out the event, certainly try out the arrival virtually and online through something called SimVenture. So, Kevin, why don't you lead us off and give us some background, what SimVenture is, how it came to be.
Thanks, Hal. So SimVenture is a way for pilots to use their at-home flight simulators, or you can even get your flight school in on it. Maybe they have a Redbird or something like that at a flying club or flight school. And you can use that simulator to fly into Oshkosh on the famous Fisk arrival using the actual note and procedures several weeks ahead of AirVenture. Specifically this year, it's July 11th through 13th. And not only are you going to be practicing the actual flight procedures of the Fisk arrival, and the visual waypoints and everything like that, but you're going to have the actual Oshkosh air traffic controllers on the radio, having you rock your wings, give you dot assignments. It gets really, really dynamic and intense in the best way possible. And that's really where Dave Kalb comes in, because he's one of the controllers. He worked AirVenture for many, many years. And we're pleased to have himself, along with a great team of other controllers who are, again, the real Oshkosh controllers who work AirVenture for that 1 week per year. And we have them on Pilot Edge doing the ATC for SimVenture. So it really allows pilots to get a great sense of what the arrival is going to be like. And that goes for pilots, whether it's your first time flying in this year or your 20th time. You do this arrival once a year, even if you're a seasoned veteran with it. And so I think everyone can benefit from having that proficiency just a week and a half or so before doing it in the real airplane.
So before we go too much further into it, how about maybe Kevin, if you want to start, can you talk a little bit about what Pilot Edge is for those who are unfamiliar and kind of how SimVenture came to be?
That's a great point. So for those who don't know, Pilot Edge has been around for about 14 years now. It is professional or live air traffic control for flight simulators. So 15-ish years ago when the company started, and there was a real lack of solution for air traffic control in your sim. There were certainly way before the days of AI, but by the way, this is not AI. These are all real people controllers that we're talking about with Pilot Edge. But certainly way before the days of AI, and then even before Pilot Edge, your only option really was this kind of computerized ATC with your sim. You'd press a button that would kind of prompt you what to say, and it would say something back. It wasn't terrible, but it certainly was far from realistic. So, come Pilot Edge back in 2011, they provided a solution where live air traffic controllers on the other end of the radio, real people, would be sitting in front of radar scopes at their house, and it's a virtual company, and it's all connected through the network. And then you would, you as a pilot, would log on to your home flight simulator or at your flying club or flight school, and you'd be immersed in this virtual world where there were controllers on one end and pilots on the other. And they're all professionally trained. They are all they all work shifts, so that you know that they're gonna be there 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so that's just everyday Pilot Edge. And you can still do that today. You know, 15 or 14 years later, the company's still thriving. You can log on to your simulator 15 hours a day. You know that the controllers are going to be on the other end of that radio when you tune that frequency. So it's a great way to get over mic fright and just to add that extra element to your flight simulator. So then come 2020, about 2019, we had this idea to, you know, why don't we do something with Oshkosh and AirVenture? You know, we've got the technology to do it. We've got the brains and the contacts to help us make this really interesting. And so 2019 into 2020 rolls around, we're preparing for the event. And of course, COVID hits. And, you know, for the first time, AirVenture is canceled. I believe that cancellation came somewhere around April or May is when EAA made that determination. And we were already planning to do this event, but it got really interesting at the point where it was canceled, where we now became the only way to fly the Fisk Arrival in 2020. And it was really interesting where everyone was kind of locked down for the summer and no one had any, you know, anything to do. And so it was in a way, a great way to kind of launch this concept because we got a lot of people doing it since people were just looking for things to do. And I think that that kind of kickstarted it to where we've got a lot of controllers now who are interested because the controllers who were excited to go that year couldn't. You know, all the controllers are they bid and they volunteer to go for this week to work Oshkosh Tower and Fisk Approach and all that. So we got them, we got the pilots, and that was great. And then 2021 and onward, it really became a proficiency event. And hey, this is really the only way to practice flying the Fisk Arrival ahead of time, because you could go rent a Skyhawk today and go up and fly down Fisk Avenue and the railroad tracks, and you could pretend to rock your wings or do it for real. But it's still just, it's just a normal class Delta up there, right? You can't just call and you're not going to get a dot assignment, anything like that, right? You're just going to call Oshkosh Tower. They're going to give you regular pattern entry. So there's really no way to prepare except for doing it in a sim and then, you know, Q SimVenture where you've got the actual controller. So that's kind of what brought us to where we are today and the proficiency event that we've created for pilots to have that ability to do it before they do it in the real airplane.
Very detailed explanation. Thank you very much. I remember when you were setting that up in 2020, and I actually didn't realize the background of that. I just kind of figured that, oh, well, you know, this was something that that we all ginned up, you know, because we all suddenly had nowhere to fly and too much time on our hands. So.
Yeah, no, it was really ironic timing how everything kind of worked out that way.
Yeah.
Kevin, going back to sort of your, you know, just as we do at EAA, you know, we have our AirVenture sort of situation and our AirVenture roles and responsibilities, and we have our rest of the year stuff. So touching back very quickly on the rest of the year for Pilot Edge, when you talk about you've got controllers on duty 15 hours a day, so as a sim user, I can go fly with the actual air traffic control, which is really, really, really adds to the immersion. What are your coverage areas like, and how do I know where in these virtual worlds I'm going to have ATC coverage?
So the Pilot Edge coverage area every day is essentially the western half of the United States. If you draw a line roughly starting around the Texas Panhandle northbound, everything west of that is going to be covered. And there's a coverage map on the Pilot Edge website that has it's got a very detailed as to, you know, what that looks like. There are always some rumors of expansion and what that looks like. But yeah, it should be noted that on a normal day, Wisconsin is not an everyday Pilot Edge coverage area. So we do make an exception for SimVenture, and we expand up there, of course, just for, you know, we don't do any sort of radar or any sort of IFR. It's just the Fisk and the Warbird arrivals. We also do staff Fond du Lac as it is a, you know, temporary tower for the real event as well. So we want to make sure that people are familiar with that. As Dave can tell us, they get plenty of airplanes for the real AirVenture that land at Fond du Lac thinking it's just a non-towered airport. So, you know, we obviously want to promote good habits and have healthy training with SimVenture so that people aren't mistakenly doing things like that when they go for the real event.
Now, David, in popular culture, at least, we always hear about how being a controller is a high stress job and things like that. Now, as we've suggested, you and I have been friends for more than 20 years, and I don't want to say I think you're nuts for doing this in your off time, but what does motivate you to say, you know what, after a hard day at a stressful job, I want to go home and do that same thing again?
Well, the thing I'm going to say is that stress is what you make of it. And I like to use this assembly. I've attended a few job fairs where I've been speaking to seniors in high school, college kids about their career aspirations. And that question comes up. You mentioned air traffic control, and first thing people go to is, they don't go to how much money do you make or how cool is the job. They talk about the stress. And so the way I put it to these younger adults is, you're working at McDonald's, you're working the grill, and you are the king or queen of the grill. The burgers is where you live. You don't want anything to do with anything else. You don't want to be near the grease, whatever. The French fry guy dies, and your boss comes up and says, "Get on fries." Are you going to have stress? And that's exactly what it's going to be. It's how you can handle the work, handle the workload. You've got to love what you do. You've got to enjoy it. That's not to say that we don't have stressful moments. You know, we can be sitting at work, have zero airplanes, and 1 minute later, I've got 10 aircraft calling me from all directions of the compass. But I think it's in the individual how you process and handle it. And for me, like you guys have professed to be simulation nerds, I'm an air traffic control nerd. I've been doing this job for 38 years now, and I love every bit of it. When I was forced out in 2019 at age 56, there was a bit of a depression there. And then it was just fortunate that the contract tower program existed where I could basically go across the street and pick my headset up again and continue working as a contractor for the FAA. I love the job. I jones for the job. And it's just one of the most amazing things I've ever done.
That does sound amazing. And very fortunate for you to find something that you really love to do. Can you tell us a little bit? I think, I know we've probably had an Oshkosh controller on the show. I just can't remember when. Can you talk a little bit about how you got into it and kind of what the selection process was like for Oshkosh controllers in the real world?
Yeah, of course. Oshkosh and then sister event, Sun and Fun, down in Lakeland, Florida, they're bid by region. And used to be the FAA was split up into 9 regions. And Oshkosh was specific to the Great Lakes region with a little bit of overspill to the central and southwest regions, which basically, if you look at the map, you go straight down the country and that's how the regions lined up. Lakeland, Sun and Fun, was specifically to the southern region with a little over to the New England region area. Well, since the FAA reorganized and went into 3 service areas, the east, the west, and the central, Oshkosh is open to controllers in the central region. Sun and Fun's open to controllers in the eastern service area, and that's basically how you do it. Now, we do have, say we have a shortfall in the central region. You know, people can't get released. There's staffing issues or I'm looking to pick up Hal, and Hal's going to require too much overtime out of his facility. They can pick up people with Sun and Fun experience to fill in at Oshkosh, and conversely, Sun and Fun can pick up controllers to fill in at pick up Oshkosh controllers to fill in Sun and Fun. The process is basically there's a bid announcement that's put out. So for Sun and Fun, that goes out about in October, and Oshkosh usually goes out in December of each year. You fill it out. They have a online bid form you fill out. Goes to your supervisor or your manager. They fill out the information, and then it just goes into a selection process. And you are your first year, you're a rookie, which means you're not expected to know anything. You're expected to come in, be able to follow orders, and just do what you're told. Years 2 and 3, you're what is considered a limited. You're progressing satisfactory in year 2. You should know a little bit more. You should retain some stuff. Year 3, you should begin to take on more of an instructorial role, guiding the rookie and the second year limited. Year 4, you become a veteran. And as a veteran, you are in a position to where you can manage the team. You may not be the team lead, but you are in a position to manage the team, provide instruction, and assist the team lead. The team lead is basically a year 4 or later veteran, somebody who's demonstrated the leadership ability to be in charge of the team, guide the team, and control everybody out on the field. And I kind of neglected to say that at Oshkosh, the teams are made up of 4 controllers. We have 16 teams of 4 that will work the tower, the spots on the field, Fisk, and down at Fond du Lac. And you rotate through all those positions all week long. Sun and Fun, it's a little bit different. We won't go into that since we're not talking about Sun and Fun, but it's a similar setup. And again, once you get your assignment, you bid your schedule, and it'll tell you whether what days you're in the tower, whether you're on a day shift or a night shift, whether you're down on the carts down at 2-7 or at 1836, or whether you're Fond du Lac or Fisk. And again, you're going to work all of those positions all week long.
That's really, really remarkable. Now, one question that came up in my head is, I think the benefits of something like SimVenture for pilots, you know, Kevin, you were stressing the fact that, hey, you know, maybe you're an Oshkosh veteran, but you're still probably only flying the Fisk Arrival once every year. So the chance to reinforce that, to practice that is really remarkable. But my question for David is, does that apply to the controllers as well? Is there any benefit for controllers to work this event and sort of get back into the groove of things?
100%. 100%. And we found that out. We got approached. My wife, Kathy, she's a controller at Gulfport Tower, and she's also Sun and Fun and Oshkosh veteran. We got approached in 2020. This, the initial people, we've been with Kevin and Pilot Edge from the start. This will be the sixth year for SimVenture. We had actually our first Sun and Fun simulation back in April. But yeah, Kathy and I got approached in 2020, and we're like, yeah, this will be cool. We'll give it a shot. And I was excited because being a contractor, I'm not eligible to work Sun and Fun or Oshkosh. So to me, it was kind of sentimental that, hey, this will be my first year not working it. It'll be great to get back in there and do it. For Kathy, her Oshkosh 18 was her first Oshkosh. So she's had 18 and 19. So for her, there was some apprehension because, you know, she's basically 2 year limited. She will testify, and I will testify, that working this event as a controller, it helps knock off the rust. You know, it helps you get your phraseology down. You know, everything we say at Fisk, everything we say in the tower, they've got laminated placards posted all over the place. You know, you say your little canned speech to the pilots when there's dead time, and you keep moving. But this event is instrumental for the controllers to kind of get back into the flow, remember the phraseology, get your timing down for turning the base for the green or the orange dot. You know, getting your timing down, picking up the aircraft at Fisk and getting them turned, you know, along Fisk Avenue or up the railroad tracks. And it's super beneficial. And with that, we are working currently with the FAA to implement a training program for the controllers at working the actual SimVenture event. So it's possible, we don't know yet, but it is possible that SimVenture may take place, or part of SimVenture may take place, just prior to Oshkosh next year. And it will be training for the pilots, and it'll actually be a training day for the controllers that are actually there at the airport getting ready to work the event. We're looking at having simulators set up over in the Pilot Proficiency Center, and we would have the teams go in, work North Local, South Local, and then we'd have another team set up on Fisk. And we just rotate the teams throughout the day so they could get the feel of it, get a hands-on of it, and it would actually take away the anxiety and apprehension that the rookies and the year two limiteds and sometimes year three limiteds have. Because again, you do this for what, 6, 7, 8 days a year, and then you go home. And this event is unlike anything we do at home. This is truly a team event. Working at home, I'm a controller on local. I've got a controller on ground. You stay over there, you work your frequency. I stay over here, I work my frequency, and never the two shall meet. At Oshkosh, the team of four is working north local. The team of four is working south local. And what you do is you have the team leads in charge. And say I've got Hal in front of me. Hal's going to be the communicator. I've got Kevin over watching my base, and I've got Tom over there watching my downwind. You have three guys screaming at the communicator, and I say screaming, but everybody, it gets loud in the tower, but everybody's yelling instructions, you know, red and white Cessna, rock your wings, red and white Cessna, good rock, start your descent on the downwind, red and white Cessna, turn base, aim for the orange dot, set it down on the green dot, clear to land, runway 27. And you have three people doing that, as well as a couple soups in the background. And then you got somebody going, hey, there's an opposite direction, send everybody around. So you cannot work this event in a live event as a singular person. I've seen a few people who really could, superhuman controllers who could do it, but it would they would be done in about 20 minutes. So that's what the team event is for. And it's the same thing down at Fisk. Four people down there, you got one communicating, you got three spotting. Out on the carts at the runway, you've got two people flagging planes onto the runway. You've got the team lead up there controlling everything, and you got somebody doing the communicating. Down at Fond du Lac's a little bit different. Fond du Lac, you've got somebody in the cab there working ground control and clearance and coordinating crossings on the runway. The rest of the controllers are outside doing spotting and talking to the aircraft that are arriving the event. So to kind of sum it up, SimVenture is a great event to get these controllers juiced up and ready for the actual event. It gets your timing down, it gets the rust knocked off, it gets the phraseology going back in, and you kind of go, oh yeah, and you get, it really helps you get your head oriented around it.
Yeah, no, that does sound incredible, and it does sound like a really good training aid.
I will say one thing I want to kind of touch on what Dave said, and one thing that kind of it brought me back hearing him just give those, you know, rattle off those instructions. It reminded me of something back in 2020 when, you know, Hal, when you participated in kind of our test proof of concept event, it was just a group of some of the Pilot Edge guys doing the ATC just for that kind of trial run. Right. And I can't tell you, I can't remember who it was, if it was Dave or someone else, but when we got the real controllers and put them into this for the first time, and I was just kind of sitting back and listening and watching, and I just had the biggest smile across my face because it was night and day. It's not to say the trial event wouldn't have been, you know, an okay and fine thing, but you bring the real controllers in here and it is a game changer. And so, you know, you get the real pilots, real controllers, you bring them together, and, you know, you've got a very, very realistic event. And it's just so cool. You can't, you know, someone who hasn't worked the show cannot rattle off the instructions like Dave does.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Well, and kind of to expand on that, you know, the thing too that we've done, as you know, Kathy and I have talked about it, we've evolved the controller side of it. You know, the whole thing is, you know, working real Oshkosh controllers, which is cool. But then what we've done over the past couple of years is, you know, Kathy, she's team lead, obviously, at Oshkosh. So what she's done is talked to her rookies and said, look, I want you to sign on for this event. I can't make you do it, but I think it's going to help you. And they've signed in, and her rookie have been working North Local, South Local, and Fisk as if they're really legitimately working Oshkosh. So he's talking and she's telling him what to say. You know, he can't hear, you know, the pilots can't hear her because she's talking to him through, you know, the setup on Discord, but she's rattling everything off to him and he's telling her, and I'm hearing it because she's on the laptop of the counter and I'm on the desktop, you know, 10 feet away, but it is really helping. And the feedback we get from the people who get to do this, then they get to Oshkosh and they're like, oh my God, this is so much better. I'm not near as nervous. I was scared thinking about, oh my God, what am I doing here? And getting to work that in the sim environment a week before the event and then getting there, it has eased anxiety and concerns greatly. I see the value in it hugely.
Absolutely. It's no surprise there is benefit on both sides of it. And it's certainly not, you know, the idea of having those actual Oshkosh controllers there is not, you know, it's not a novelty. It's not a gimmick. It just truly does make the whole experience more real.
Well, and the thing is what you say real there, Hal, is we tell everybody when you sit down to do it, let's pretend we're there. So we're like, hey, everybody, it's a great day here at Oshkosh Fisk. It's a beautiful day, sun's shining. We're looking right down the railroad tracks. We can see everybody down there. As you get within a half mile of Fisk, we're going to pick you out by color and or type. But if you're more than a mile from Fisk, we're not talking to you. Oh, look at that. There's a Mooney. Looks like a red Mooney. Yeah, it looks like a red Mooney rocking wings. Oh, my God, that's a great rock. Great rock. Take it up the tracks. Runway 27. Have a great day. Contact tower. We'll see that. Oh, looks like a tail dragger with Tundra tires. Yeah, give me a rock. Oh, excellent rock. Make a right turn, join the east-west road runway 36, you have a good day, that kind of thing. And we try to make it as real for the pilots as possible to give them that full experience.
It's so funny, you know, you went into that and it certainly sounds like you've done this before, and I know for a fact you have many, many, many times.
One time.
No. So Kevin, what do people need? So they say, okay, this sounds pretty cool. What do they need if they want to participate? Some, you know, what are the sim platforms you support? And then what do they need in terms of an account from Pilot Edge? Give me the basics.
Yeah, it's all based on obviously Pilot Edge. So number one, you need a Pilot Edge account. And that's, I'll get back to that. But for the SIM platforms, Pilot Edge supports all four, five-ish type main SIM platforms. And so that is, we'll go from oldest to newest. So Microsoft Flight Simulator X, I know Hal, that's an old favorite of yours.
Absolutely.
That one is still supported despite being old. Lockheed Martin's Prepared, which of course is what the Redbirds are flying on.
Right.
And it's kind of a derivative from Flight Simulator X, the old Microsoft. X-Plane, so Laminar Research's X-Plane 11 and 12. And then Microsoft Flight Simulator's new 2020 and 2024. So, you know, kind of the main ones across the board, pretty much if you have a computer flight simulator and you're not flying DCS, which is kind of a more of a military sim, although actually Pilot Edge does support that to an extent. But for the main ones, if you have a computer flight simulator, we do support your sim platform. I can almost guarantee that. So on top of that, so obviously you need the sim. You need a Pilot Edge subscription, or I should just say an account. The reason I just say an account is because if you are a new Pilot Edge user, SimVenture is included in the free trial. So the free trial is either 5 hours of network connectivity time or a two-week period, whatever happens first. So I tell people, if you're planning to do this on the trial, you don't want to spend any money, that's fine. Just sign up within 2 weeks of the event. And then don't use it yet until the event starts, because at that point you'll have 5 hours to fly this event, as long as you're within that 2 week window from the time you create your account. So it's within that period, within that free trial. If you want to continue obviously using Pilot Edge after the fact or whatever, it's just $19.95 a month. That's for unlimited usage of Pilot Edge. So if you just want to, you know, not worry about that whole free trial thing and just want to do that straight off the bat, you can do that as well for just $20 a month. And lastly, you just need a computer headset. USB headset is usually the best way to do it. It's usually the easiest, but obviously you need a way to hear ATC and respond back to them. While there's obviously not a whole lot of responding back for Oshkosh, occasionally they do. You know, during periods of lower traffic volume, they might ask you, hey, where are you flying in from? Or hey, which runway do you want? You want 27 or 36? And you know, so you got to be ready to key that mic potentially if they ask you.
So how do the actual mechanics of this work? I know we had talked a little bit before the show of, you know, kind of some alternative ways of doing it that aren't quite visual, but this sounds like it's a very, just like the real event, it's a very visual thing
yes.
for the controllers and for the pilots.
So the...
I got to say something real quick here. I want to cut in real quick. Kevin has done an amazing job with the visuals. He's not going to toot his own horn, but I'm going to toot it. The visuals, when we first started out, they were good. The visuals have evolved over the past 5-6 years to where it's absolutely amazing. I mean, they've got the moo cows on the field. They've got the flagmen on the field. The detail just gets better and better every year. And to see it, if I didn't know I was in a simulator, I'd almost think I was there. It's absolutely amazing. Kevin should win a Nobel Prize for
it's certainly a team that gets it done. Well, thank you, Dave. Yeah, certainly. So the and with kind of everything I explained about what you need to get going, of course, those with the Pilot Edge account who are interested in this event, we do provide you with scenery for your sim platform, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, surrounding area. That's going to have all of your landmarks you need for the Fisk arrival, everything you need. Like Dave said, flagmen on the field, everything is going to be there. So that's included for free. We'd give that to you, anyone with a Pilot Edge account. As for the mechanics of it all, if you're interested in kind of seeing what that scenery looks like, you can certainly check out the promo video for SimVenture just on pilotedge.net/SimVenture. Just a YouTube video that's up there kind of gives a glimpse of what that scenery looks like. As for what the, you know, how it works with the controller side, the controllers are able to see the wing rocks. They're obviously working the various positions, Fisk approach, North Tower, South Tower, the moo cows, which are the ones that do the departures, the controller standing out there on the front lines of the runway. And so they're all, you know, working together. Dave mentioned Discord. It's just a kind of a way that we can all kind of be in a virtual voice chat room, and we can coordinate that way. That's very realistic to where we'll say, North Tower will call Fisk and say, hey, see if that, you know, white Cherokee is still on your frequency, because maybe he didn't make that switch over to the North Tower frequency. So We do a lot of that. There's a lot of moving parts going on behind the scenes to make this event work. And you know, we've done all we can to make it as realistic as possible for the pilots.
I'm going to throw in there too, for something that's as new as this is, it has evolved very quickly. It has evolved. And again, I've drank the Kool-Aid hard on this. And so while I will not say it's my baby, I feel parental over it. But
oh yeah, no, Dave has been monumental in a lot of it.
Thanks, Kev. But I will say that the crew that we've got from Pilot Edge and then on the controller side, we absolutely have an amazing group. We have a truly amazing group of people that, you know, nobody knew each other coming into this, and now we're like family. It's absolutely incredible.
Now, I don't want to compete with David as your chief horn tutor, Kevin, but I will add to the justifiable praise that he sent your way, and saying that one of the most astounding accomplishments for me, especially since this was, you know, this was part of my profession a career ago, 15 years ago. I spent 11 years at Microsoft working on simulations, and the fact that you not only support all of these platforms, you know, Microsoft and X-Plane and, you know, Lockheed Martin with Prepared, but everybody can see each other. Mm-hmm. And that was from my perspective, that was a really remarkable achievement.
And I was blown away.
Even that several years ago when we did those first tests, it's like, wait a minute, how am I in the same online universe as somebody using X-Plane?
Yeah, cross platforms. It's
just unheard of. So when we talk about, you know, you need this sim or that sim, it doesn't just mean it works with the platform you've got. It means you're all in the
Everyone's together, right?
In the same singular online world. And I don't think, boy, if you've never worked on the back end of anything like that, I don't think it hits home as how just how nuts that is that you could actually do it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, do you have some kind of approved plane set for it or something like that, just to, you know, kind of keep the models?
So. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. And first, I will say, you know, thank you for the kudos. It is a big team that makes this work. Of course, you know, Keith Smith is the founder and CEO of Pilot Edge. He's kind of the brains behind all the coding. I would say I'm kind of the brains behind the SimVenture and the logistics behind it. And then Keith makes everything happen technologically. And then, of course, you know, just we've got a team of scenery designers and people that even, you know, help with our music for the promo video. And of course, we've got a pretty big pool of test pilots, so to speak, so that, you know, hey, we need to test this new technology or this new scenery. You know, you guys go out, find what's wrong with it. So it's taken a big team, and I'm very appreciative of all the work that a lot of them have done for that. And of course, to all the controllers too. But so getting back to it, back in 2020, maybe 2021 as well, we did have an approved model set. In that way, we knew everyone would be able to see each other correctly and in their exact colors. We made the conscious choice in 2022, I think it was, to go away with that. We did have about 15 or 20 models, if memory serves, with different color schemes. But we wanted to make sure people could fly what they wanted to fly. You know, the whole point of this is to replicate your experience going into AirVenture. And if you have some non-standard, you know, you're not flying a Skyhawk or a Mooney or a Cirrus, maybe you got some weird home-built something, but you've, you know, created it for your sim, or someone's actually made it and you've bought it for your sim, I don't want to limit you to having to fly some other type airplane, because that's really doing it disservice to you. So we made the conscious choice of say, hey, there's more value in being able to fly exactly what you want to fly than there is making sure that the airplane off your right is actually a red Cessna. So that is probably where the event strays the most from reality, is that, yes, that airplane that you see, you know, that you're taxiing behind or maybe out in front of you, they might be a white Cessna, but you see, or they might be a red Cessna, but you're seeing them as a white Cessna. So it's a very minor kind of stray from reality, but unfortunately that is, you know, and how kind of what you're familiar with in your sim experience is the model matching and the model set is still a problem to this day, where that models do not. And when I say models, I mean the visuals of the airplane do not pass from simulator to simulator over the internet, essentially. So you have to have that model set for your sim to say, okay, yes, I'll draw that. And that technology is not present yet. So That's really the only stray from reality, is that, you know, you're still going to see an airplane there. It might just not be the correct color of airplane.
Right. Now, with the departure from that sort of standard default model set, from a controller like David, if I'm in my sim, I'm flying a red Cessna, but my model, do I know before I get into it that maybe my model has mapped in this environment to a white Cessna?
Nope.
And so what does David see? Does David
see? The controllers can see exactly what you're looking like. So because okay. they're not using the sim platforms, they're using the controller sim experience, which brings everything together. And so we are able to put that in their eyes, but we can't get that across to the simulators, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So yeah, the controllers are able to see you for what you are. But the other pilots, not necessarily. They'll just, you know, see that there is traffic there.
That's, again, really remarkable, the whole cross-platform idea, and the way that I think you made a sensible choice, is that of letting people fly what they want to fly, and the controllers acknowledge and they're aware of what I'm in, so their instructions to me make sense. Mm-hmm. And for people out there in the real world, just the amount of data it would take to actually be constantly transmitting all of these 3D models back and forth, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see that bandwidth in my lifetime, but who knows, you know?
Yeah, I could see it happening. Yeah. It would just take a lot of work and a lot of bandwidth, like you said.
Yeah. So one question that I had as now it's my old friend David knows I would never never misbehave in a sim environment, but let's say that a friend, we'll call him Tom, he gets in his 747 and is going to try to fly the Fisk arrival and gets frustrated, he can't maintain the speeds. I mean, he's in SimVenture, just to be clear. And then David's telling him to rock his wings and he's not doing it. And they're giving him vectors, giving him directions. And now Tom's trying his inverted pass down 1836 to show off. He's just screwing around like a troublemaker. How do you guys handle that? And maybe you've never had it, because that's not what people are there to do.
Well, so the first thing I'll say is from 2020 and in the 5 years we've done this, again, like Dave said, this will be number six. I have been blown away at the compliance and abilities of these sim pilots. It really, I didn't know what to expect when we started this. I didn't know, are people going to be able to translate the NOTAM into the sim? Are they going to be able to see these visual landmarks? We've gone above and beyond to make sure that the landmarks are visible in the scenery, but are they still going to be able to see them? Is it going to be too much? Can they keep a half mile on trail behind the traffic? And I've been blown away every year for the past 5 years. It's been, they are doing a great job, overwhelmingly. We had very, very, very few. Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say that I think that goes hand in hand with the instructions from the controllers, too, because
yes. The
controllers are not going to let them creep up on each other. I mean, the controllers are running it just like we're really out there. So if you had, say, a robot sim, and the guy's trucking up there and he's creeping up on it, the robot might not pick it up or might say, slow your speed. Whereas we're working it, we're going, Cessna 22 X-ray, you need to maintain a half mile on trail spacing. If not, I will break you out and send you back to Endeavor for resequence. I think that plays part of it too.
Yeah, we've had great compliance, and it has been a less than 1% malicious. I honestly can't even think of anything off the top of my head in the past 5 years that have been like, oh yeah, I remember the guy that tried to kill our event. And we are prepared for it. We have very easy ways to forcibly remove someone from the network. So it's not something that we're super concerned about, but we're certainly watching for it. But we're not going to let anyone destroy this event for the people who are trying to use this realistically. And one thing that I learned a lot from Dave in early years was there's a big difference between maliciously messing up and just making a mistake. And one of the biggest surprises for me, back early on, I was like, well, Dave, what if someone just completely strays off the tracks and is just heading up to Appleton? He says, yeah, no problem. They see this all the time. They deal with pilots that really have no idea what they're doing at the actual air venture. And so,
or they're on the wrong frequency.
Right. Wrong frequencies, wrong runways. I mean, there was with Dave's wife, Kathy, she was the she's the female voice in the viral video from 2 years ago where the airplane was landing on, what was it, Dave? They were landing on 3-6.
It was a Bonanza, and, the Bonanza that came in opposite direction, and she sent everybody around.
Yeah.
At the actual event.
Because they were, they were landing 1-8, and the Bonanza just comes in not talking to anyone on 3-6. And so, you know, these things happen. And so it would almost made it even more realistic to the fact that, yes, we do get some people making mistakes, but they're genuine mistakes. And we deal with it like they would in the real world.
Well, I got an idea for you guys. If any virtual pilot is facing virtual enforcement action against their virtual pilot certificate from the virtual FAA, I could get a couple of volunteer aviation lawyers to back up our legal advisory council, and we can adjudicate that.
Oh my gosh!
You could have a SIM NTSB hearing,
anyway. Right? And yeah, I can't wait to get SIM revoked. And you know, you just give me a phone number to call.
Yeah,
I'm SIM Fizdo, and I'm here to revoke your SIM license.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I have to say though, I wanted to add in here that with what Kevin said, you know, the response has been really good, and from my perspective. You know, we're sitting here, I'm just talking to these guys, trying to make it as real as possible. And so, you know, the very first year, this goes back to 2020, we're sitting there, we're just trucking along, and we got a nice little flow going. And just like we do when we've got time at Fisk, I'm like, hey, Red White Robin or Red Robin, where are you from? And all of a sudden the guy says he's from Munich. And it really hit home that this guy is 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's in Munich flying the sim to Oshkosh. And that just absolutely blew me away. And then that just kind of steamrolled from there. So I'm talking to this guy, and he said, you know, said Red Robin, and I said, yum. And he comes back in his German accent, fuck, it's yum. And it got into a whole explanation about the Red Robin restaurant. And then all of a sudden, four other pilots came up and go, man, I'm hungry. I'm going there after we finish this. And it just kind of steamrolled. And then, so then we come into, you know, 2021, and I'm just trucking along, and all of a sudden this, you know, the guy comes on the frequency and he goes, yum. And that was my friend from Munich.
Oh, you know? That's great.
So it's just kind of, you know, repeated itself over the past couple of years. So, you know, he pops in every now and then and throws a yum at me, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And it's just, it's really amazing that I guess camaraderie you're developing in a sim environment across the planet. It's just truly amazing.
Really is an incredibly small world, isn't it? All right. Well, Kevin and David, thank you both so much for taking some time to join us today. Again, anybody out there interested in participating, you can go to pilotedge.net/simventure. That event is coming up July 11th through 13th. There will be multiple sessions, so be sure and check it out. In the meantime, thanks to everybody out there, as always, for listening. Thanks to everyone who takes the time to send us some feedback at feedback@eaa.org or in comments on the episode landing pages at inspire.eaa.org. We really appreciate ratings and reviews on iTunes or wherever you consume your podcasts. We haven't done this in quite a while, but we had a recent 5-star review. I can't read the reviewer's name on the show, but I will share the review itself very quickly. And that is, I always listen to the Green Dot when I'm on long drives, and it's always inspiring listening to the stories and really reflecting on why I got into aviation in the first place. I appreciate the host for putting on such a wonderful show and the guest speakers who always do a great job of sharing their side of aviation. I appreciate all of you at the EAA and especially those on the Green Dot. And to the reviewer, right back at you. We appreciate you as well. So with that, we'll catch up to you next time when you're cleared to land on the Green Dot.